Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after. 800-531-3815. Toll free coast to coast. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much. Hanging around with us this morning, Don Sadler is our guest, and he's a longtime member of our Brain Trust, vice president with Media 3 Publications, and he's our good friend. Don, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Jim. Good morning.
Good morning. It's good to have you back. And Don, I was looking at some old notes, and I told the audience that we were going to talk about capitalizing your business, and that's not at all what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about email. We're going to talk about using email, using the electronic capabilities that we have to reach out and touch our customers, and specifically, I think you want to talk about newsletters.
E-newsletters, right. We've been talking about e-marketing the last couple of times we've talked, Jim, and I wanted to talk in a little bit more detail about some strategies that businesses can employ to publish email newsletters.
Mm-hmm. This is a very interesting topic, folks. You've heard us speak about this before. Don and I have a little bit. We've talked about it with some other people, and this is a very interesting topic, and it's getting more and more interesting, Don. Not that the reasons why you'd want to have one have changed or have gotten any more or less important, but because of the way that these are delivered these days, and how our e-newsletters have to integrate into the overall internet system, the World Wide Web system.
Exactly. And, Jim, during the break, you and I were talking about how e-marketing and e-newsletters in particular are running up against some challenges from what we're all familiar with as spam.
Yep. And it's not so much that we're running into spam, but we're running into the problems that spam is creating, aren't we?
Well, yeah, and I would say that those problems fall into two main camps. Number one would just be the incredible volume of spam that all of our readers or each one of us is receiving, which makes it that much more difficult for us to get a legitimate e-newsletter or e-marketing message in front of a prospect that they're actually going to recognize as a legitimate message and not just hit the delete button and thinking that it's spam without even opening it.
Have you seen the numbers that AOL filters? The number of spam that AOL filters every night?
You know, I saw a figure recently, just the volume of spam per year. I don't even remember what billions of number it was. But what is it per night?
I don't know how you could even calculate this number per year.
I know.
Because every night, AOL, this is what my tech experts have told me, AOL alone, now they're the big one, folks, but that is just one ISP. There are thousands of them out there. Every night, they alone filter 800 million spam, and about 2 or 3 weeks ago, I was told one Thursday night, there was a billion one night.
So multiply that by 52 for an annual number.
By 365?
Yeah, that's what I meant, by
365. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what that number would be, how many zeros that would be, but the thing is what's happening is that it's causing such an overload that but the main thing to remember, folks, is that you, Don, you and I have talked about differentiating ourselves from spam by making sure that we're an opt-in product and not a spam product.
Right, has to be opt-in, which means that the readers actually ask to receive an email from you. So that'll go a long way towards solving that problem.
But we still have to operate on the same backbone, don't we? On the same system.
Right. So that when somebody sees an email from you, hopefully they'll remember that, yes, I did opt in to receive an email from XYZ Corporation or from a particular individual.
Right.
And that was the first strategy that I wanted to mention in publishing an e-newsletter, is to make it very, very clear in both the subject line and the from line exactly who the email is coming from and exactly what it's about, so mm-hmm. so that you can get over, hopefully, that first obstacle of being perceived as spam.
When my newsletter goes out, the two lines says, from me, has my name on it.
Personally, your name.
Yes, mm-hmm. and when they see the subject line, it says, the first three words are my brand, the Small Business Advocate.
Right, exactly.
So, and then the fourth word is community.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, yeah, so, Jim, I think you send yours out, probably every Sunday night?
Because
I think it's
Sunday,
waiting for me on Monday, first thing Monday morning. Is that right?
Typically, I send it out sometime after lunch on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, it got out late because of the holidays, some things that were going on this weekend. But yes, it 360, or I should say 51 weeks a year, I should mm-hmm. say, it goes out on Sunday. Sometimes it goes out Monday morning, but usually mm-hmm. on Sunday.
And that's another key to e-newsletter publishing, is to be consistent and to be as predictable as possible. And, Jim,
yep.
yours is a perfect example. It goes out every Sunday afternoon so that I know every Monday morning, first thing when I boot up, your weekly e-newsletter is going to be in my inbox. And that's just another way to differentiate it from spam, by being consistent and predictable in your publishing, at least as consistent and predictable as you can be.
Well, I think that's important. But you know, Don, there are people out there who are running a business that's not a content business.
True,
I have a content
true.
Business. You have a content business.
Mm-hmm.
But there are people out there that are in the laundry business, or they're in the wholesale business, or something else. And so, publishing is not their forte. But they still want to have, they're listening up, and they want to have some kind of a product to give out. And they're saying, but I can't keep that kind of a schedule. Then it's really important that they do some other things correctly, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a good, and that's why I said be as consistent and predictable as you can be, because I do realize that everybody's not in our business, Jim, and publishing that e-newsletter is not at the top of the priority list for everybody, but as consistent and predictable as you can be. But another strategy that I wanted to touch on this morning is just the idea of using your e-newsletter and your website together. A good friend of mine, a fellow who writes articles for me regularly, his name is Michael Katz, and he's the president of Blue Penguin Development Company,
mm-hmm.
Basically a consulting company that consults on how to use e-newsletters better. And he did an article recently on using your e-newsletter and your website together. And the main strategy that he was emphasizing is to post your e-newsletter front and center on your website, because most companies' websites are relatively static, which means that they don't change very often.
Mm-hmm.
And Michael's point was that your e-newsletter, if you're publishing one on a relatively consistent basis, is probably the most consistent thing that you're doing in terms of generating and creating new content. So put that front and center on your website, so that you at least have something on your homepage that's changing on a regular basis and gives people a reason to come back to your homepage over
mm-hmm.
and over again.
Use that to help make your site as dynamic as possible.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Michael made the point that is interesting and relevant as today's newspaper might be. Tomorrow, you have no more use for today's newspaper.
That's right. It's fish wrapper.
And it's kind of the same thing with your website. When somebody comes there once and reads what's there, why would they possibly want to come back again if you haven't put anything new that is going to draw them there?
Well said, Don. Stand by. We're going to take a quick break. It's 20 after. We'll be right back with our good friend Don Sadler. He's Vice President of Media 3 Publications. Back is 23 after. And the Family Stones for you there this morning. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Don Sadler is our guest. He's our good friend, Vice President of Media 3 Publications. Don, tell us about Media 3 and how we can find it.
We do custom publishing for the financial services industry. Mostly we publish newsletters and mini-mags and tabloid newspapers for large banks around the country.
Yeah, and that's media3.com?
Media3pub.
That's right.
.com.
I forgot the pub. Media3pub.com. Check that out if you get a chance. Especially if you're a banker, or if you'd like for someone to produce a custom product for you, so that you can get, and in fact you also do email, not only print but email as well,
web content and mm-hmm. Email notification, email newsletters, all of those kinds of things.
So if you've got a project that you'd like to address, and you'd like to outsource that project, that publishing project, for to reach out and touch your customers, you got a customer list, but you want to make sure that you do a good job, you might want to give Don a jingle. And you want to give us a phone number, Don?
Sure. It's 800-540-0834.
All right. And Don will, if you need to get in touch with Don and you forget any of that, you can let me know, and I'll make sure you get in touch with him. Don, to me, the thing that small business owners have to be able to do these days is we've got to differentiate ourselves in ways other than our goods and services, because everything that we sell, somebody else sells. You know, 10 somebody sell in, within 4 or 5 miles of us probably, and there's 1,000 people, maybe 100,000 online who sell what we sell. So mm-hmm. we've got to figure out how to differentiate ourselves, and we've got to. One of the ways, and the only way you can differentiate yourself, is if you've got your customer or your prospect's attention.
Right.
And an email contact with a newsletter, an opt-in newsletter, where they've given you permission to contact them, is a great way to sort of jingle your customer very subtly. You don't have to call them. You don't have to. They only make contact with you, so to speak. They only notice you when they want to at their convenience.
Exactly.
And when they do, if you've done a good job, you've given them some information that they can use, and it makes them think about you.
Yeah, and one of the benefits of having a good email address list to which to send your e-newsletter is that even if people don't read every issue, they're getting an email alert from you in their inbox on a regular basis. And if nothing else, they know that they're getting a communication from XYZ company, from a particular individual at a particular company, and it just helps keep that company top of mind when they're thinking of all the different vendors that they could use for a particular project.
It's an impression, isn't it?
Exactly. It's an impression, and it's just a very inexpensive impression.
It really is. Mm-hmm. Do you recommend that? I mean, obviously you recommend that banks use outsourcing services for their publications. But what about small companies? Do you think that's a good idea to get somebody else to handle it for you?
Well, yeah, if you can afford it, and I won't pretend that that e-publishing, if you outsource it to a company that specializes in it, is going to be inexpensive. You're basically going to be paying for the content. You're going to be paying for the technology and the backbone that would enable the company to actually send out the email alerts. You're going to be paying to maintain your email address database. So there's definitely some work involved. But as with any outsourcing project, it comes down to, is the business and the business owner prepared to do it himself? Does he have the expertise to write the content that's relevant, that's well written, all that kind of thing? Does he have the technical knowledge to actually execute the program and all that kind of stuff? If not, does it make sense to learn how to do that, or does it make sense to outsource it to someone so that you can spend time doing what it is that you do best in your business?
I think people would be surprised how many people or companies in their communities are standing by, prepared to very professionally of marketing arm, marketing component. That right now, I mean, people who are they're either maybe it's a small PR firm, it may be an individual or two out there who are doing this sort of thing. There are people, and they don't have to be in your community, obviously, because especially if we're talking electronically, Don, mm-hmm. that's virtual. That's a virtual relationship right there with your customer. So you, why not work with the vendor who's virtual?
Right.
And so I was just going to say that there are people out there who will do this, and they do it for small companies all the time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You just have to find them.
Yeah, and probably when it comes to looking for a vendor to help you with an e-newsletter or an e-marketing program, the most important thing I think you want to look for is a strong content generator. Mm-hmm. The technology side of sending out email alerts, sending out e-newsletters is not really that complicated.
That's probably going to surprise a few people, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because a lot of people get intimidated by the technology, but sending out, and you know this well, Jim, sending out an e-newsletter to a long list of people is not a complicated thing at all. So mm-hmm. most anybody can do the technology side, but what you're really looking for is someone who's a strong, basically someone who's a strong copywriter. Mm-hmm. And it takes a special kind of copywriting to do e-newsletters and to do them well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I'll tell you, it's once you get used to doing it, once you start doing it, it's like anything else, once you learn how to do it, it's probably not as difficult as you think it is. And so I recommend that you get started on it. You start thinking about this as one of the elements in your marketing plan. Don Sadler, thank you for being here. Good job today.
Thanks, Jim.
We'll see you next time.
Okay.
Don Sadler, ladies and gentlemen, with Media 3 Publications. That's media3pub.com. Quick break. Right back with a new friend, Kirk Chaffetz. He's going to talk to us about how to think inside the box. Who would have thought of that? 29 after. This show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.